Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. We have much to discuss today. I see many of you are already commenting on the title that Planet Fitness is allowing biological men into women's bathrooms and locker room spaces. We're going to talk about that today after a woman claims she saw a man inside the women's bathroom shaving. We're also going to be talking about the Boeing whistleblower who has now been found dead whilst in the middle of what is a months-long deposition about all the thing that Boeing's was doing wrong with their airplanes. Most recently, you guys heard about the door plug that flew off of an airplane while it was mid-flight during its landing. It could have led to a death. Luckily, it didn't, but this guy was blowing the whistle on everything that was happening at Boeing that may have led to an incident like that. Plus, we're going to be talking about whether or not TikTok is going to be banned. It's been the topic of much conversation recently. Will it be bought by a U.S. company, or will we be saying goodbye to TikTok? Plus, we have great news coming out of England, but I will wait to share that with you. As always, we have Taylor in Nashville.
Oh, hey, yeah, so much going on, and we're just hardly halfway through the week, but I think it's picture perfect that you've got your big tea mug there because you're about to spill all the tea for all these stories.
Yes, guys, the tea is hot, especially when it comes to Planet Fitness. Now, I used to have a Planet Fitness membership. Me and my homegirl back in the day when we were in high school, wake up in the morning, head to the gym, run a mile, put a little workout in, and then we would head to school. My Planet Fitness membership is no longer, and I have a feeling many of yours will be no longer after you hear this story. We all know Planet Fitness is a huge gym, a company, corporation here in the United States of America. They have several franchise locations all around the U.S. Now, a woman decided to hop online and make a video about what she recently experienced at her Planet Fitness gym. Let's take a look.
Good day. I just wanted to say I just came out of Planet Fitness, and there is a man shaving in a women's bathroom. I realize he wants to be a woman. He gets to be a woman. I love him in Christ. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. He doesn't like his gender, so he wants to be a woman. But I'm not comfortable with him shaving in my bathroom. All right. I just thought I'd say it out loud.
First of all, what a boss. She said, I experienced this in my Planet Fitness. I'm going to go outside and make a video about this. And she said, I just want to say it out loud. It's totally fine that this adult man wants to take on and assume another gender, and he wants to change his pronouns, and he wants to go by a woman. The point where I feel uncomfortable and where, you know, you start to encroach in my space a little bit is when you are in the woman's bathroom or locker room at my gym. I am, in fact, not comfortable with that. And I think that's where a lot of people are drawing the line when it comes to this sort of ideology. Yeah, you know what? You're an adult man. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. You can assume whatever identity it is that you want to assume. I'll even use your preferred pronouns if that's what you want me to do. But what I'm not going to allow is you to be in my space, a space that used to be, you know, a protected space for women where we can go to the bathroom, you know, change into our gym clothes. It's a really vulnerable vulnerable position that you're in as a woman who is in the locker room or a bathroom of a gym. And you all know this. If you guys use your gym memberships and you spend time in the locker room, you have women and young girls in there. They're using the bathroom. They are showering. They are changing. And some women do that right in front of every other woman who is there in the locker room. Now, imagine that a biological man gets to now say, I identify as a woman and enter that space. You know, I have sympathy for those who are experiencing gender dysphoria and want to live the life of a woman, and they feel like going to a woman's bathroom is part of that experience. But I also want to note that more than likely, this is a predatory man who just wants to go into a women's bathroom and spend time in there. Now, for what reason? I have no idea. You guys can fill in the blanks on that. Of course, I have some guesses and I could speculate as to why a man would want to do this. But she did post evidence of this encounter. Here's a man, I guess, at the Planet Fitness bathroom. And, you know, this guy is not necessarily dressed as a woman. Of course, he has a towel over him, so I have no idea exactly what he's wearing underneath there. This is a pretty masculine looking individual who was apparently shaving within the bathroom. It's not making sense, guys. And again, I understand if you want to take on another identity, but should my comfort be what is lost in the mix and in the conversation of all of this? And I can't imagine there are a ton of women who actually feel comfortable with a biological man being in their space. It's very reminiscent of what we saw with Riley Gaines, the NCAA swimmer who came forward and said, hey, you know what? It's not okay that we're competing against transgender athletes. That was one point. But another point was that Leah Thomas, that NCAA swimmer who was in question, the one who was once a male but began to identify as a woman, was exposing himself in the locker room to the fellow competitors in a female locker room. Do we think that this is okay, guys? What world are we living in that you can now have a man in your space? In any other time in, you know, human history, we would have been able to go run to the front desk of that gym, say there is a man in the women's locker room, either exposing himself or even not exposing himself, and this would have been taken care of. The man would have been removed from the premises, told he was not allowed to be there, probably would have had his gym membership canceled, and you know what? Honestly, would have had the police called on him, and this would have been an assault. But now, this is okay. And according to Planet Fitness policy, transgender identifying individuals are just allowed to use whatever bathroom that they see fit for themselves, regardless of what point in their transition they're in, whether or not they just self-identify while looking like a full grown ass man. You can just go into the women's bathroom. And a former employee at Planet Fitness had brought up this very same concern, saying, you know what, I don't think this makes sense that we allow men into our space. And this is the Planet Fitness policy and what they said in regard to this employee's complaint. Quote, all members, including transgender members, may use Planet Fitness locker room facilities and programs based on their self-reported gender identity. These facilities include bathrooms, showers, and all other facilities separated by sex. Whether possible, Planet Fitness clubs should maintain private changing areas in each locker room for the comfort of all members. So what you're just meant to do is just use a private changing room. Never mind that there's a man in here and he can change if he wants to or use the facility in any way he sees fit. You just go to a private section and make an even smaller female space for yourself, and that's what's meant to provide you comfort in times where men can just walk in to your space and hang with y'all. Y'all feel comfortable with that? I don't.
And the policy goes on to say that discomfort, if you do feel discomfort, some members may feel uncomfortable with a transgender member using the same locker room facilities, bathrooms, etc., that are separated by sex. This discomfort is not a reason to deny access to the transgender member. And you mentioned that in saner times, the person, the male using the female's bathroom would probably be escorted out by security and have their membership revoked. But we came across a story just before going live that in Florida in 2018, Planet Fitness canceled a woman's membership after she complained about a transgender person in the locker room at their facility. So we've completely reversed and flipped the script, and we are living in the upside down when it comes to this issue.
Yeah, that's just nuts, dude. Now you get your gym membership canceled for complaining about an issue that for most of time we have all agreed on. And again, this is not a full-on attack on transgender individuals. This is commentary on the fact that predatory men are going to utilize this sort of policy in order to enter female spaces. But of course, I'm not surprised that Planet Fitness is responsible for this. Back in the day when I was a member at Planet Fitness, they would do like donut days and pizza days for if you came to the gym and got your workout in, which obviously makes no sense. They also are, you know, at the forefront of the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion programs when it comes to their company. You'll see here, if you go to the Planet Fitness website, that they have this sort of championing inclusive fitness for Black communities as one of the largest targets and fastest growing franchisers and operators of fitness centers with more members than any other fitness brand. Planet Fitness has the responsibility to advance the health of the communities where we live, work, and work out. Driven by the mission to enhance people's lives and create a healthier world, we are committed to providing accessible and inclusive fitness spaces that allow members of all races, backgrounds, and ethnicities to feel like they belong. Now, I've never encountered a gym where I felt like I didn't belong as a Black person, or I felt like I wasn't invited as somebody who's biracial or a woman or whatever the case may be. So I don't understand what this initiative towards inclusivity in the gym is even about, but they've partnered with this organization called BLK Health, Black Health. And if you go to this page's website, this organization's website, it's just a little nutty. They're talking about racism being a public health crisis, and their stats for substantiating that are things along the line of the rate of new HIV infections among Black women is 13 times that of white women. How is that racist? It's just a fact. I don't know how that can be, you know, utilized as some sort of evidence towards a racist healthcare system that we're experiencing. They go on to say Black Americans are infected with COVID-19 at nearly three times the rate of white Americans, and Black Americans are twice as likely to die from the virus. They give other stats about colorectal cancer and all these different things, and talks about how we need to create a space for critical conversations about race, health, and finding new ways forward. I'm sorry, I don't understand. Even as a half Black person myself, I'm not understanding how these things are interwoven with one another. Then how an organization like this needs to be working with Planet Fitness. How Planet Fitness is not already an inclusive space as far as race is concerned for a gym. They're so inclusive, they allow men to go in the women's bathroom. Like, what more could you possibly need from your gym membership, ladies and gentlemen?
It's like, just be a gym, you know? That's if you were interested in providing that service and being a successful company, then that's really all you'd have to do, right? And the irony of them wanting to be this like very open, safe space, judgment-free zone, et cetera, that's their branding. And yet it's not a safe space for women when it comes to their restrooms. And it is not a company that is just doing its job of being a gym. They are deliberately forcing these policies. They've doubled down on them when confronted. And then you go in the gym. I was a Planet Fitness member up until recently as well, because it was the nearest, most convenient gym to where I live, as it is for millions of Americans. I think I saw they have nearly 20 million members across the country. But you walk into their gym and there's this racial equity in fitness stuff everywhere. And it's just, this is shoved in their face. They have these crazy policies that they could just be doing their job, just like we talk about in the film industry or gaming or whatever it may be. You could just be making good films. You could just be providing a gym where women can be safe, men can be safe, and can focus on their workout and not have a racial agenda preached at them or not have to worry about other things going on. But instead, they choose to take the activist stance, as is the case with so many other companies. And I think people are tired of it.
Yeah, so rethink your Planet Fitness memberships for those of you out there using them for your gym, because my goodness, do they not care about your comfort, nor do they care about protecting women and their spaces. Now, speaking of companies that don't care about your protection, we are going to move on to this story out of Boeing that has been sweeping the nation as it has grown increasingly suspicious. And we're going to talk about a whistleblower who has now been found dead. Now, this guy was going to provide a bunch of key evidence. He's a former Boeing employee named John Barnett. Now, he got to experience a lot of what was happening on Boeing, the building of the planes, the inspection of the planes, and he had some red flags that were raised for him that he wanted to share. And he was in the middle of an ongoing deposition against Boeing for their mishandling of the airplanes as a manufacturer, as well as just ongoing safety concerns and things that he witnessed while working as a Boeing employee. Now, let's read some of the things that were outlined as far as his concerns. It says here, 1 in 4 oxygen masks installed were faulty and would not work during emergencies. 1 in 4, 25%. Workers were being told to deliberately fit substandard parts, such as ones in scrap bins, to aircrafts in order to hurry up production, and general safety measures were being ignored by under-pressure workers. Now, this guy, John Barnett, was staying at a hotel in the midst of what was this lengthy deposition against Boeing. Now, I guess his lawyers had called to check on him at some point. They called the hotel. Somebody went to check as of his whereabouts, and he was found deceased in his car, allegedly due to a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, I say allegedly because this is sus, guys. This is super sus. Now, they do say there was a letter found alongside his body in the car. So they're going to investigate that. But even his lawyers are saying that they hope they leave no stone unturned when it comes to this investigation. Boeing is one of two major airline companies here in the United States. The other one is Airbus. So this was a big deal that he was going to come forward with these very key pieces of evidence. And he'd already started rolling out a lot of what he had seen whilst working as an employee at Boeing. This has huge implications because if what he was saying is true, and the evidence he was bringing forward really does indict Boeing in a series of major incidences that they've had as an airline company, it was going to cost them a lot. And of course, they're now under a federal investigation looking into all of the things that John Barnett had brought forward, as well as other issues that have occurred at Boeing independent of his own deposition as to what was going on there. So this company is not doing well. You know, your girl already hated flying and is terrified of flying. Now I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere near any sort of Boeing aircraft, but it's almost all the aircrafts. It's a lot. They have their hands in a lot of what we are experiencing as far as air travel here in the United States. But now they have these major websites coming out where you can avoid Boeing airplanes altogether and put in, you know, the flight path that you want to take. And they will try to get you a flight that doesn't involve the Boeing 737 or the 737 MAX, which are the key, you know, airline, the key planes that are really generating a ton of concerns. Now, as I said at the top of the show, you'll remember that aircraft that had the huge door plug sort of fly off the plane 16 minutes, I believe, before the plane was meant to land. Now, luckily, there were no passengers sitting in the seats where the door plug flew off. Otherwise, they could have literally flown out of the plane and died. And after an investigation, they found that this was due to a bolt being improperly placed, or the wrong bolt being placed. And if you look at John Barnett's testimony, where he's saying they're working these employees and telling them, get this done quick, get it out, use scrap pieces for the planes to put them together if you have to. And then when it comes to inspections, which are meant to be done by the FAA of these aircrafts, Boeing is employing the people doing the inspections. Of course, that's a conflict of interest. It's absolutely ridiculous that this has been able to go on for so long. And honestly, this has led to many incidences. We've had five. Boeing has had 5 incidences in the last week now involving their airplanes. Most recently, a fuel leak as an airplane was taking off on the runway, and that airplane had to then go and emergency land. And that is number 5 in 1 week. So did this guy take his own life? I don't know. His lawyers are saying that he was in really good spirits over the fact that this whole case was going on, that he had mentioned several times that he could not wait to be done with his hotel stay so he could go back to see his family. And now he has turned up dead in the middle of his stay whilst going through this deposition process. I'm not fully convinced this guy killed himself. I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say that. Allegedly. I am not implicating Boeing in this whatsoever and saying that they're responsible. I'm just saying, this is really suspect to me.
And you're not alone. We have a nearly 300 votes so far in a poll we have in the chat asking if you guys think that the Boeing whistleblower killed himself. And 89% of you are saying, no, you do not believe so. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of smoke here. And I don't know how you determine, you know, when something like this happens, are we going to get the truth? You can't help but think of the Epstein situation mm-hmm. and just the amount of cover-up that happens when the stakes are so high. And you're right that Boeing effectively has a monopoly on the manufacture of aircraft that are for commercial aircraft in the United States.
Right.
You mentioned Airbus. Airbus, but they're actually a French company. So the stakes are so big because Boeing is the United States' premier manufacturer of commercial aircraft. There's billions and billions of dollars at stake. They have all kinds of deals with the government, et cetera. And this guy was standing against that massive machine. And a lot of people, a lot of powerful entities stood to lose a lot for if this truth was to come out, or if what this man was alleging were to be proven, then there would be a lot of losses and a lot of scrutiny and a lot of hell to pay on the part of the company. So you can see where there's incentives. It's you have to be willfully, optimistic of the fact that they wouldn't do this. But then, mm-hmm. like you said, the lawyers are saying you want to see his family, all this kind of stuff. So, man, this is just so suspect, the timing of it. Anytime, this is like the plot of a movie, you know, when there's a person who's going to rat out the mob or whatever, and then they kill themselves. It's you literally couldn't write it anymore to generate any more skepticism than one has to feel when seeing this story.
Right. This is not feeling okay, guys. This is not feeling normal. As I said, I was already scared of flying. Now I don't want to go anywhere. And they really do. This is not about whether or not Boeing fails or goes down. They have to improve. And I believe they've been placed under a 90-day order to improve the safety of their aircrafts. I mean, recently here in the state of California, you had a Boeing flight leave from San Francisco, and one of the wheels fell off of the jet and landed on a car. Now, luckily, that car was empty, but the car was crushed, obviously, by this wheel falling off as the plane took off. So there's a lot to be said here. Broad implications when it comes to air travel, placing profit over quality and over the safety of your customers. And that seems to be what the case is here. I believe Boeing and McDonnell Douglas, another company, ended up merging together in 1996. And it was made very clear at that time that McDonnell Douglas, although they were the ones being purchased by Boeing, cared far more about profit than they did about actual quality and than they did about the safety of the passengers on the aircraft. So a lot to be said there. And this is really an indictment on corporations, large corporations at large, and how they're treating the quality of their products and the manufacturing of their products, and how in a lot of ways they no longer care about the consumer. We're seeing this at Boeing. We're seeing this at several other companies. And I think this is just going to be sort of the culture of the time. And it's something that we all need to recognize and move towards a greater outcome where we really do care more about quality than just churning out aircrafts and getting people from point A to point B as fast as possible with the scrap metal and paying off the people who are doing the inspections. It really is insane. Of course, air travel remains the safest way to travel if you're going to travel, but this is very telling. And to think, if that door plug didn't fly off that airplane, it could be that we were never going to be talking about this, and this was not going to come to light in the way that it has, and it wasn't going to get as much scrutiny as it deserves. So we're kind of lucky that that incident happened and that nobody died, although others were injured, so that we could sort of blow the top off of what is a much bigger story involving this U.S. airline company.
Yeah, five instances in a week. I mean, that you're nuts. Right. We're lucky, but how long will it be before something more severe happens? And just one more thought to be added to the conversation. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't kind of connect the dots a little bit here. Like we've talked in the past about Spirit AeroSystems, mm-hmm. the manufacturer of a lot of the parts, the part that of the door plug that fell off the plane in question that you mentioned earlier. And they are a company that has prioritized diversity. And you can say, I mean, I don't think you can say that because they pride themselves on having an all-female design team, or that they have all these racial initiatives and quotas for the company, that that is explicitly the reason for the failures. But what you can say is that that is part and parcel of the prioritizing of profit over safety, because the reason why a lot of this diversity stuff ends up getting pushed is because it's a requirement that comes with ESG, and ESG is how you get access to cheap money in order to run your company, in order to have capital to invest. So it's a faster, easier way to get capital than would be going through other methods that don't require the DEI and that type of stuff to incorporate in your company. So there's a lot of other tentacles and things at play here, whether it's profit motive, whether it's ideologically driven, but what is suffering is safety. And that is something that I'm not willing to bet my life on this DEI stuff. I'm not willing to place my life in the hands of someone or a company that is beholden to it. And so I think we need to dig down to the roots of this stuff and expose all of it, like this whistleblower was trying to do, so that we can return to a place of safety and root out the corruption and ideology that is in these companies.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, like the time that you are spending on diversity, equity, and inclusion is time and resources that could be spent on quality. So that alone shows you the sacrifice that is being made in the name of a much larger agenda, when in reality, what's going to happen is, you know, failures on behalf of these airline companies, and failures means injuries and deaths. I watched John Oliver, who did an amazing special on Boeing about 6 days ago, which is not even updated with what has happened to this whistleblower. There is an anti-ice mechanism that is in a lot of these Boeing 737 Maxes. And if a pilot leaves it on for more than 5 minutes, this can lead to injury, death, and engine failure. And he actually found a photo that a pilot had just left a sticky note on the dash in the cockpit that just says anti-ice, no more than 5 minutes. And that's his reminder to just like not leave this mechanism on that could lead to engine failure on for more than 5 minutes. Is that not absolutely insane to you guys? He even went into some of the crashes that had happened, I forget in which countries, where of course hundreds of people lost their lives because these planes went out over the ocean and they crashed. And it was based on a mechanism that had a single sensor that would then, you know, send the plane from like face up to, you know, butt up. And that sensor being, you know, hit and the plane crashing. And this happened on more than one occasion, with hundreds of people losing their lives. When you just think about the fact that there are actual idiots who are working behind the scenes in things that directly affect whether or not you live and die when you go to air travel. Insane, guys. Insane. Now, speaking of idiots that run things that directly affect your lives, let's talk about the government.
And, what a transition.
And this new TikTok ban that everybody is talking about. You guys know I'm on TikTok. Taylor's on TikTok. I got my start on TikTok. I'm sure many of you are on TikTok yourselves. This one says here, the U.S. House officially passed the bill to ban TikTok if owner Chinese company ByteDance refuses to sell the platform. Now, the House went through, they passed this, of course. Biden is also in support of this bill. And it essentially says, hey, guys, you're going to sell your Chinese company to somebody in the U.S. Somebody who's got to buy it here in the U.S. or else we will refuse to platform you. TikTok is going to be banned. Now, just on a sheer, you know, principle level, I don't agree with this whatsoever. Now, I'll get into my thoughts on the CCP and China and all of that. But think about the precedent that this sets, that a U.S. company can just essentially force another company to sell to them and say, you know what, do it or else we are going to ban your company, a company that U.S. citizens find value in and want to engage with and want to have as an app on their phones. I think that sets not a great precedent. And I actually saw this tweet earlier from Rand Paul that really opened up the picture for me personally. And he says, my statement on the House TikTok ban, the passage of the House TikTok ban is not just a misguided overreach. It's a draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, and disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. With an iron fist, Congress dictated an unrealistic and narrow path for divestment, effectively banning TikTok and ignoring its substantial investments in data security. This act is not securing our nation. It's a disturbing gift of unprecedented authority to President Biden and the surveillance state that threatens the very core of American digital innovation and free expression. Now, there's a lot to think about when you think about TikToks. I know a lot of people sort of relegate this app to being this sort of ditzy CCP run app that you put on your phone that steals all your time. You doom scroll on it. And trust me, it has a lot of cons, this app. But I cannot give you a number as to how many Americans have now found employment because of TikTok, have now launched small businesses because of TikTok, who have now become independent journalists because of TikTok. And when you think about the media's stronghold on the American mind, American expression, and what you hear as far as news and media is concerned, TikTok flies in the face of that. You can find a lot of dissident opinions on TikTok, a lot of dissident reporting on TikTok, a lot of primary sources on TikTok where you can't find them in your general legacy or mainstream media. And I think there's a lot of people in our government who are concerned about that and who want total control of that. And by selling TikTok to a U.S. company, yes, they gain a little bit of security when we talk about the threat that the CCP has towards the United States, but also they gain a lot of control over what you can now see as a user of TikTok. And I think they've been very uncomfortable with the information that's been able to be disseminated on TikTok as a platform as it stands now. And I don't think that's talked about enough or acknowledged enough, that we do get to exercise a ton of freedom on that app. Now, do I agree that the CCP is a threat to the United States and shouldn't be able to access American data and just data farm Americans at, you know, any time of the day when they're on this app or even when they're off this app? Of course, I agree with that. I think that's a problem. Now, can we try to work on data security in the meantime rather than trying to force the hand of a company to sell to the U.S. while threatening a ban on them? I think so. I would hope so. And what really generates concern for me is I don't think half of our representatives that are meant to be representing us on this issue even understand how to use an iPhone, let alone log onto TikTok, utilize the app, or have any idea about what the app does or what it is meant for. And they're the ones who are arguing, apparently on our behalf, as to whether or not this company is bought out and as to whether or not they ban it. Now, here's a little clip. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous. Here's Nancy Pelosi talking about TikTok and how this is a win if we can have this app bought out by the U.S.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner.
She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. And if you watched as the CEO of TikTok was questioned when he came and sat before our representatives, you would know they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea how the app works, what it's for, what sort of information is being spread on it. All I think they know is that they want control over the information that is being spread on there. And even more so than that, where they're accusing the CCP of stealing our data and spying on Americans, they want to be able to be the ones to do that. So you're just picking which, you know, overseer you like better, essentially, is what's happening here. Do you prefer the CCP do that? Do you prefer that the United States do that? Now, the CEO claims, who knows, that he's willing to work with the U.S. in order to make them feel safe when it comes to their data and their data security. Who knows what's true and what's false on that? All I know is we're just picking one overseer over the other at this point, and they have a lot to gain by banning TikTok or getting it owned by a U.S. company. We just have to think about whether or not we think it's cool that they can force the hand of a company to sell to the U.S. I don't think that's cool, personally.
I think that is, too, the central question. It's not necessarily a referendum on whether or not you like TikTok or think it's good or bad for America. It's really a question of, does the Chinese ownership, the CCP's power that it exerts over TikTok and its authority over TikTok because it is a Chinese company. There's a CCP member with a board seat on the board of TikTok. Chinese law dictates that the company has to give data to China just by virtue of it being owned by them. Does that constitute grounds for not allowing the app to operate in the U.S. unless it divests, unless China divests itself of its interest in the app? Mm-hmm. And I'm more amenable to this than you are, I think. But the devil's in the details on how you define the scope of what you're doing. Because if it is just a narrow, in this case, we want to force China's hand with regard to TikTok, and that's all that this law is doing, that's all that the bill would accomplish, then I think I support that more than not. I think the positive outweighs the negative, as long as we're not establishing sweeping precedents and sweeping authority to do so in the future with other kinds of things, or giving the executive branch power to do so. I've heard about an example from Noah Rothman of National Review, where he said that Grindr, the gay dating app, was owned by a Beijing-based firm that had access to people's private messages, including their personal health data as to whether they had HIV, etc. And that information could be used to blackmail its users. And so on those grounds, the government, a congressional committee, compelled the firm that owned Grindr to divest of it. And that was the end of that situation. It happened. And now Grindr's data is presumably safe, or safer than it was, in the hands of the Beijing-based firm that was at the time operating it. And I think that was a positive development. And so I think if we could do the same thing and accomplish the same thing with TikTok, that would be something that I think I would support. But I agree with you that we have to have a lot of skepticism here. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we tread softly with, but it's tough because it gets convoluted, and you get into the language of the bill, you get into the different arguments on each side, and it gets less cut and dry as to what's actually being done. But that's as best as I can say. I do support the measure, but I'm very cautious with saying that because there's a slippery slope.
Yeah, 100%. I'm all for getting the CCP out of anything to do with the United States. Let me make that very clear. I'm all for taking every single job we've sent over there, every single bit of data we sent over there, every single bit of app that they're receiving our data off of. I'm all for getting rid of that. What I'm worried about is the pork that is so often attached to these bills that has either A, nothing to do with what they're talking about or what they're trying to pass, or B, something very much to do with it, but it's something now that they get to take control over, and it's going to negatively impact us. I'm always going to be considerably concerned about that, because I think very rarely do they put forth a bill that is just what they're saying it is on its face. And if they get the chance to control an app like TikTok, which has billions of users and so much information, they will do exactly that. You know, where you can go to certain platforms like Instagram and Facebook to get a so-so tell of what's going on in the world, TikTok and X are two platforms that generate a lot of independent information, independent journalism that doesn't really get to exist on these other platforms. And you'll know I have problems with TikTok too. They are banners, they get a lot of content censored, and I've had plenty of problems existing on that app. But I will say there are tons of positives to the way that people can engage on that app and what they are allowed to share. And I'm not so sure that if the U.S. gains control about that, especially these old politicians who don't even understand the app, they're going to try to exercise as much control over it as possible. I theorize, okay? That's just me speculating as to what they're going to do. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Many people are saying, oh, they're just going to sell. They're going to find somebody. And they're going to make this sale. Of course, everybody on TikTok is freaking out over whether or not a ban is going to happen and where they're going to go when one does. But I have no idea which way or which direction this is going to go in.
And just what that there, too, is if this does pass and TikTok or ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, which has the control, is controlled in part by the CCP, if they are forced into either sell this, divest this, or get shut down in this country. If they'd rather scuttle the entire platform than sell it, that kind of tells you something about their motives and what it's their interests and who they're beholden to. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really interesting to see. I think it would be crazy and irrational not to sell it. The only reason that you would not sell it is because you are using this as a weapon and you just want to punish the US for not allowing you to have that interest here. That would really be the only reason. So because there's billions and billions and billions of dollars to be made, presumably, if they sold this to a U.S.-owned, or I believe the language is a foreign adversary, so as long as they don't sell it to an Iran-backed company mm-hmm. or a Russia-backed company, but it is a company that's based in the U.K. or the U.S. or whatever, and then they can do it. But yeah, I think it'll be really telling to see how they respond to that if this does indeed pass.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what is the reason you would have for not wanting to sell to a U.S. company? The only thing I can think of is that if they have, TikTok seems to have a really unique algorithm as far as social media goes, and maybe the software, you know, stuff that they're doing on the back end, they don't want that intellectual property to be sold off to a U.S. company for them to be able to utilize. That's the only thing I can think of as to why you wouldn't want somebody else to have their hands on it, but I don't know how much of that ByteDance actually owns or actually has their hands on. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens here. And if a US company does buy TikTok, I will be very curious to see what changes end up happening on the platform and if there is a difference as far as what you are and are not able to talk about and how that sort of structural change comes about, if any structural change comes about. I think it will. Like, just imagine Meta goes and buys the US version of TikTok. Done for. It's not going to be usable. It's not going to be worth using anymore if somebody like Zuckerberg gets his hands on what ByteDance has in TikTok US. Mind you, this is only about TikTok US. So TikTok has divisions for each country that the app operates in. This is only about the sale of TikTok US. So we shall see what happens. Now, in the midst of all this crazy news, we do have some good news, and it's good news out of England that we're going to talk about to close the show. Here's a clip from Sky News.
Let's just bring you a bit of breaking news, which may be of interest to some of you. It's about puberty blockers. Now, these are drugs that are used to delay the changes of puberty in transgender youngsters. In terms of how they are prescribed by the NHS, there has been a lot of controversy over the last few years about this. At the moment, they are only prescribed to children attending gender identity services as part of clinical research, and they are not routinely offered to children at gender identity clinics, but they are still offered. Well, the government, NHS England, has just confirmed that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics. This is coming from NHS England, which just broke in the last few moments.
Woo! Okay, round of applause. Wow. Somebody has done something right. Puberty blockers will no longer be administered to children at gender clinics in the UK. Wonderful, wonderful news. Now, they're joining now a list of other countries who have made similar moves as far as allowing minors to be able to receive what they call gender-affirming care, but what is actually just medical sex reassignment or steps in medical sex reassignment surgery. This would be Finland, Sweden, Germany, and now England have basically unanimously agreed that at least some portion of this treatment should not be administered to minors. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get here. We are still not here in the United States of America, and the U.S. needs to be taking notes from these countries in Europe that are choosing to make this decision and to say children are no longer going to be allowed to undergo puberty blocking treatment. There are so many reasons why this is the case. Puberty is a natural phenomenon that we are all meant to go through in our own natural way. And to block that, although they'll say in the US, doesn't have any problems, it has many, guys. just think about the fact that every single human being goes through puberty, and think about stalling that out for somebody, how that would affect their growth and development. And while they will sell to you that there are no long-term ramifications and that it's reversible, you can just go back on puberty at any time, we know that is not the case. So it's very interesting to watch that as England makes this choice and joins other countries who have done the same. And I cannot wait for the US of A to do exactly that. It will be a big win once we've followed in the footsteps of the UK, actually, for once.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they're ahead of us. And I did see some backlash on this that, you know, you're hearing the chorus of they're going to force millions of kids to go through puberty against their will.
Gosh.
That is, to me, the craziest argument, because you could literally say, like, I'm being forced to grow to my natural height against my will. Should I be taking a pill that makes my hair fall out if I feel like I'm not meant to have hair? And, like, it's just the dumbest argument for how, like, why that puberty is a natural phenomenon that occurs for every human being that comes into adulthood, that blocking that is necessary in any way, or somehow it's immoral to deprive people of the ability to block that. Just craziness. And this is great news, and it's coming off the heels of the WPAF files that we saw last week, where the primary organization that's responsible for advocating for policies like puberty blockers and such has been exposed as having a lot of pseudoscientific practices and a lot of medical malpractice, highly questionable ethics in their recommendations and how they're doing research and how they're putting together what they're recommending to the American Medical Association, to a lot of entities around the world, on how transgender patients should be treated with gender-affirming care. And all that is being turned on its head and exposed. So this is another victory, not necessarily as a direct result of that, but in the wake of that. So it's nice to see that it feels like the tide is turning ever so little by little on this issue.
Yeah, 100%. This is a win. This is a win for the kiddos, guys. I mean, the most vulnerable in our society are being directly impacted by this. And I'm so glad that a barrier has been placed. No puberty blockers, guys. No puberty blockers in England. That's a wonderful thing. You have to think about how many kids make the decision to go on puberty blockers. And because they've made that decision, it throws their system so out of whack that they are pushed further down the path of sex reassignment, transgenderism, and gender, the whole gender dysphoria ideology that has now come packaged with this affliction. There is no greater win, I think, than allowing and making a child wait to make these very, very pivotal decisions until they are through the process of puberty. We've all been there, right, guys? We've all experienced puberty. It's an extremely turbulent, uncomfortable time. You don't know left from right when you're experiencing all of that. And your brain is like almost hijacked by the things that your body is undergoing at that time. Allow kids to see their way through that before they make pivotal decisions about their bodies that are irreversible. Not to say that, you know, puberty blockers are irreversible, but this is a major, major win. Allow them to go through this time that's uncomfortable for everybody. We all go through this discomfort, and when we get out on the other end, we go, whew, I'm so glad that's over. And hopefully we feel a little bit more in tune with our mind and our bodies. I can't think of a time where you would feel more of a disconnect between your mind and body, where you could be more convinced that you are gender dysphoric than in the midst of puberty. So to block that and to not allow people to go through this process is just a heinous. It's a crime against children, and hopefully a crime that will no longer be done in England. And on to the U.S. next. So, guys, that's it. We're going to get into your super chats, hear from you guys on today's issues.
All righty. Our first one today is from YouTube is censoring your comments, which I guess they weren't in this case, but says, honestly, the solution for Planet Fitness would be if women just started changing in the men's room. It would make everyone happier.
Yeah, I'm sure it would make the men in the men's locker room happier if women began doing that. Wowie wow.
Yikes.
Oh, we just got...
The dude says as
I gotta interrupt you. We got a $100 super chat from Jessica B, who says, "Hi, Amala. I've noticed in the past few months I've been getting addressed by employees at stores as they, them. As a very normal-looking biological woman, this makes me so uncomfortable. What can I do to correct this without looking like a Karen or an it's ma'am?" You know what? I don't know. I think in that case would just go about my day. I can't imagine letting a single encounter with somebody really take on too much headspace in my brain, even if it is that they are driven by this sort of out there ideology that's making them refer to people as they or them. I try to keep as much of that out of my daily headspace as possible. I think, you know, very rarely am I going to see this person again, let alone have much of an impact on their way of thinking in this one encounter over pronouns in a store. So I'm not going to allow that to affect my positive outlook on life, the way my day goes, the way I'm feeling mentally, and I'm just going to go about my business and allow them to refer to people as they or them. You know, at worst, they're trying to push their ideology a little bit on you. At, you know, least, they are maybe just using words incorrectly.
Yeah, don't be like the TikToker who goes into restaurants and waits to be misgendered. It's like he's going through stores and waiting for someone to call you they.
Exactly.
I think, I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious too if you're feeling particularly spicy or something, mm-hmm. and you want to, like, you know, push back. I wouldn't see anything wrong with, but like, you can call me, you know, my name's Jessica. You can call me. I'm a woman. You can call me
sure.
you know, by she, her.
Oops.
But I agree with Alma that it's probably not going to get you very far. So, if you feel like it's a matter on principle, you need to stand up for yourself. I don't see a problem with it as long as you're kind and, you know, gracious. But largely, I'd say probably don't let it affect you.
100%.
Satma Dude says, "As a male gym goer, I would never use the female bathroom. No urinals and only stalls where a bunch of sweaty women place their used feminine hygiene products and panties. No freaking thank you."
See, okay. You know, we have different spaces for reasons. Women are around women and men are around men. We have very different needs. And I would never want to go into a men's bathroom because they're disgusting. I can't even get within like 5 feet of a man's bathroom without the smell knocking me out in the first place. I prefer what is typically a very cleanly women's locker room over a man's any day. And these are just our gender differences, I think.
Yeah. Men's are definitely grosser, but there's a reason why we have our own spaces, guys.
Mm-hmm.
The homeless veteran says, "The Boeing whistleblower is just another reason why a lot of us never come forward for specific things. Pretty certain I might know the team that got him as well. Not even TS/SCI has that access."
Yeah, I don't know. It seems very, very sus. And when you get into calling out major institutions with a lot of power, I guess you constantly run that risk of allegedly being taken out in that way. Now, I'm like trying to logically think through how this could be. Maybe he was under a lot of stress and he just didn't want to deal with what he was dealing with anymore. And he decided to, you know, call it quits. There's also maybe they were threatening him. I can imagine if you have something like this going on, they can hire people to just go and threaten you at any given moment and scare you. And I've heard stories of people enduring exactly that from taking on certain cases or being part of a certain case. And if you're being threatened left and right or your family's being threatened, you're probably going to, you know,
blackmail.
Take yourself. Yeah. Blackmail. They might have found something on him and say, "We're going to release this to the world. Your life is over." And then he goes, "Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and, you know, beat you to the punch on there." There's so many different things that could be happening, especially with a company that is as large as Boeing, allegedly. So I don't know. So many things.
So many alleged things, allegedly.
So many alleged things that could allegedly be happening in this alleged.
Amy says, "I've seen a man dressed as a sporty corn star at my Planet Fitness. I would cancel my membership, but your girl's trying to lose weight. 40 down, 30 to go."
Dude. The gym is treacherous these days. Treachery is just how I describe the gym experience. I see all these videos of just like OnlyFans girls doing stuff in the gym, men dressed as women doing stuff in the gym, men going into the locker rooms at the gym, people filming one another at the gym. I just can't. Like, what happened? We used to just come here, get your workout in, mind your business, and go home. I told you guys on Instagram about my experience at the gym where I went there, well, what was it, a few weeks ago probably, and I went there around like 8 o'clock at night, and this guy guy's there. He's like a short, kind of chubbier Hispanic guy, and he's wearing a, like a little Trump hat. And he's taking a barbell, and he's crouch walking on the gym while putting the barbell on his shoulder and like looking through what is an imaginary scope on this barbell, holding it and like crouch military walking and like moving it like he's shooting at targets at the gym in front of everybody. And some people are looking at him kind of weird, like, what is this man doing? That's really strange. But then they just go back to their workout. And I was like, you know what? This is suspicious. I'm going to get out of the gym. What if he's a weirdo and he's got like a gun in his duffel bag and he's just testing the waters right now to see if anybody's going to engage him while he's doing this with a barbell in the gym. I'm just going to leave. Why can't I just go do a workout these days? Why do literal freaky people have to be at the gym doing this sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, this is where like norms are good, man. And people love to be so open-minded and affirming. And, you know, we want to let people express themselves. Everyone express themselves. But there's something to be said for, like, if you're at a gym that took stuff seriously and was like, we don't allow that kind of weird stuff here.
Right.
Like, sorry, we want to protect this space for the 99% of people who don't want to see that kind of stuff. And, you know, there can be other gyms where anything goes. But, like, I feel like we have too low of standards sometimes for just like common normal behavior. But it can sound like such a Karen when you say that, but it's true.
You're like, what am I going to do? I'm just going to go to the front desk and be like, hey, that guy's doing something weird. Can you do something about the guy who's doing something weird in a gym in LA? Like, hell no, nobody's going to do a thing. I'm just like, right. You know what? My survival instinct is telling me to get the hell out. I'm just going to go. And I can't believe the amount of people that watch that happen right in front of them. And they're just like, oh, I'm just going to go back to working out. Is y'all's instinct not kicking in that you guys need to be out of this situation? Whether or not something happens, I'm leaving. Are you kidding me? Not today.
Should have got my video. That's the kind of stuff that goes viral.
I wanted to, but then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to risk
attack
it.
You. Oh, dear. Okay. Let's see. Roga says, hey, Amal and Taylor, at work and risking a write-up to listen to you guys. It helps the 10 hours go by. And PF sucks. Just got kicked out for a gallon bottle.
Yeah, I do hear they have some sort of like weird rules at Planet Fitness where you just get kicked out for just like random things. And yeah, it just doesn't sound like that great of a gym.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid the like lifting bro, you know, stereotypes. So you can't bring like a gallon water jug and carry that around with you. You can't have a gym bag and put it on the floor. You can't use chalk. You can't like do a lot of those certain things. Then they have a thing called a lunk alarm, which is like a siren on the wall where if you slam your weights or you're being too like grunting and stuff like that, they'll set off the siren. That's only happened like once when I went there, but it's the thing, man, which I get in part that you're trying to create like a non-stereotypical gym space so people feel more comfortable to work out, but the other stuff is just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. Layla Silva says, whistleblowers being murdered, transgender men having more rights than actual women, misgendering being considered a hate crime. All the chaos and corruption happening in this world right now, how can we maintain happiness?
It's a choice, I think. Largely, people hate to say it when people say that, but I do think largely it's like a choice. It's a mindset that you have to have in regard to life when crazy things are happening, because it is just part of life. If it wasn't these issues, there'd be other ones. And you can choose to like focus on them and dwell and have them negatively impact you, or you can sort of analyze them and go on about your day. And I hope to choose the latter, although sometimes I do choose the former, and you get the best of yourself sometimes, but you got to choose positivity.
Mm-hmm. And take the wins where we get them. We ended the show on a good note today.
Yep.
That's great. And, you know, we're living in the time that we're living in. There's nothing that can be done about it, but we can do what we can to understand and fight back as well as we can within our personal lives and, you know, take solace in that and hopefully also disconnect a little bit and get meaning out of your real life and real relationships.
Yep.
Read a good book. And appreciate just being alive. That helps a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Taylor Fan Club says, Planet Fitness does suck. You can use Gold's Gym, but they have their own problem. If you know, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure every gym has their own little issues. I don't know about Gold's. I do not have a membership at Gold's.
I don't know what the problem is. So.
I won't say where I have a membership, but it's, you know, standard gym. It's like $30 a month or something like that.
Yeah. Madeline Glidewell says, I go to a women-only gym. I said to my husband this morning that it's only a matter of time before a self-proclaimed woman shows up, but at least when it happens, maybe I could be on Amala's show.
Yeah, there you go. We'll interview you. Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think it's a great idea of women's-only gym, just to have a little separate space. I always get uncomfortable just being in the gym because I'm like, working out is kind of like a vulnerable thing. You're learning new things. You're trying new things. I don't like doing that in front of people, period. So, yeah, maybe I should look for a women's only gym.
And my new gym has a women's room. So mm-hmm. it's like the general gym floor. And then like yeah. there's a room with a bunch of stuff that I guess women use more that's in there. And
yeah, that's cool.
My wife likes using that. See, Diva Dawn says, what is it about these libs boosting up this administration? Why do they want the government to have so much control over them?
Because they claim to be helpful. I don't know that it's going to be all that helpful. I think it's just a different fundamental belief on what the government is meant to be for. I think the government is meant for very few things, and they're meant to do those very few things really well. And then other people think that the government is sort of like a catch-all for everything that society needs to be running and happy and fulfilled, and that we need to run to them when we are lacking in those categories. So I think that's where we get to this sort of government overreach that we're experiencing now.
Well, Haka says, hey guys, as far as TikTok is concerned, shouldn't we be more worried about AI? Isn't that far worse and concerning about overall privacy?
Dude, I'm kind of blackpilled on the idea of like privacy and data theft and all that stuff. I'm like, if you don't want China to have your data, why the hell are all our iPhones made over there in their factories? You don't think they have every single thing you're doing on your iPhone right now? Please. You don't think the US government has, you know, every single thing you're doing on your phone right now? Of course they do. As far as like the data concern thing, for me, the ship is long gone. She sailed away a long time ago, and they definitely have our data now. That's why I guess I'm just not so sold on this whole TikTok ban thing, and I have a feeling that like there's a man behind the curtain somewhere, and there's something else that's being brought out of this whole house ban that's happening right now, because girl, they make the damn phones that you put TikTok on. You don't think that they know everything that you're doing on it? I don't know. And it's just like these same people who claim to not want China to have your data, they're like making essentially a huge runway for all these companies and corporations to outsource their work to China and to have an amazing relationship with the CCP. So I'm just not convinced that they view the CCP as a great adversary as it actually is, and that they're actually making movements to, you know, alleviate that adversarial pressure. But then that's just me. I don't know. I'm kind of like cynical on that whole point, clearly.
Yeah, and there are reasons to be. I'm going to skip ahead, though. We just got one from our friend Amir Odom, who says, why are you guys so amazing?
Aw, Amir!
What's up,
Love
Amir?
You. We need to have him back on the show. Amir needs to come back on. We have always much to discuss, and Amir is such a fun guest. You guys love him. We love him. Also, follow Amir on YouTube if you don't already. His YouTube channel is banging. So go subscribe.
Yeah, he's killing it. Thanks for stopping by, Amir. Let's see. The homeless veteran says, TikTok being forced in the hands of a selected American interest, i.e. government/corpo entity, is not the victory everyone thinks. It's precedent to take social media enterprises control from owners, government power increase.
Yep. Because I'm thinking, okay, if they can force the hand of a sale and have ByteDance do that whole thing, don't they have to be the ones who approve the sale of like who exactly it goes to? So aren't they going to put themselves in the best position to have a great relationship with whoever TikTok US is sold to? And what is that relationship going to involve? Also, which politicians are the ones who get to like have the inner conversations about where this goes and what that pass looks like? To me, it just seems like who's your lesser of the two evils on this whole move. Now, I don't know. It could be just a clean cut, angelic. They're just little angels. They just want to do something good for American citizens, and they really just want what's best for you. Or it could be that they're going to get a lot of great things in the wake of all this. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some way to like insider trade on this sale. They're probably doing that right now as we speak.
Yeah, that's Yeah. I guess we'll keep going. I just, it's like the devil you know or the devil that you don't.
You don't,
you know?
Exactly.
That is a reflection of, like, there should be a congressional oversight committee that is overseeing the policy that we're going to implement toward this ban, and then whatever sale would be happening. And those congressmen and women should be representatives of the people, looking out for the people's interests.
Yeah.
But there's a disconnect between looking out for the people's interests and looking out for their own interests, corporate interests, interests of lobbyists, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with something that isn't really good or necessarily better for the country than the status quo. That would be the only argument for, you know, not doing it. But then on the other hand, you have an actively hostile nation that clearly you have reason to believe is exploiting their access to American data and everything through this. So it's like, which way do you want to get screwed, basically? And
100%.
Do you want to bet on your own system, the corrupt system, or do you want to expose yourself to the foreign adversary? I'm like, we need to deal with both is the real answer.
We really got to deal with both.
I mean, exclusive.
Yeah, like you guys heard when Mark Zuckerberg went on Joe Rogan and was like, hey, yeah, the FBI reached out to Meta on behalf of essentially the powers that be and said, let's tamp down that Hunter Biden laptop story and make sure that nobody can read about that. That's a significant amount of power to have. People are using TikTok way more frequently than they're using freaking Facebook and Instagram. So now if they get that switched over to the US, imagine all the different stories that you would have heard on TikTok had it been owned by a different company that you're now never going to hear because the FBI and the CIA and all these different entities have now control over what it is that you get to see. I just think, you know, this is a wolf in sheep's clothing in so many different ways, but it's also bad in the state that it's currently in.
You just need Elon to buy it.
Yeah, for real.
Elon,
where's
Bayless
Elon?
Okay, Chloe Bryan says, you can't force someone to go through puberty. They just go through it.
Exactly. 100%. It's just there. It just happens. It's again, language play. They're really good at language play, and that's one of the major ones.
Yeah, and that's just the issue. Like, by definition, if you're prepubescent, you're a minor.
Yeah.
And so you don't have the wherewithal to be making these medical decisions that have long-term impacts on your body. And what other situation do we allow minors to do that, period?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's zero justification, man. The homeless veteran says, look up Michael Hastings, cruise control on cars is just programming. And programming can be a very convenient tool for hash nations. Just programmed speed to infinity after a certain speed.
Oh, I've never heard about that. That is a conspiracy theory if I've ever heard one. That would be crazy.
I heard Rogan talking about this.
Huh.
Like some, I don't remember what it was, some guy in the 80s, that a high profile figure who died in this way. And they think it was because his car, they took the brakes off of it or whatever. And,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But now all these smart cars and things, there's going to be a million ways you could somebody in.
Yeah, what was that Obama movie where the Teslas all get hacked?
Oh, yeah.
Just came
called?
Out.
You guys will know down below. My gosh, we just watched
it. Put
it
in the chat. Help us out. Hoy Minoy says, gender reaffirming care for children is and should be considered child abuse. Children need to be protected.
Yes, it is child abuse. And my goodness, just inflicted by your parents is insane. I can't imagine being a child who's gone through that and then looking back in adulthood at something that your parents did to you like that. Oof.
Cough, Jazz Jennings, cough.
Mm-hmm.
KDP3 says, first live super chat. Love your podcast, Amal and Taylor. It's refreshing to hear this point of view after seeing all the garbage on YouTube lately.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Hopefully we get to stay here. Hopefully they don't take us off. We're always like, before we write the title to the show, like, are we allowed to put this on YouTube? We wrote today's title and Taylor's like, do you think it's going to get taken down? So hopefully we're here to stay. The movie is Leave the World Behind, by the way.
Great.
Said Marvin Miller and Lexi in the chat down below. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. But you watched that. I don't think I did not.
It was okay. I gave it like a 6 or something, five or 6.
Didn't we do a video on it?
Yes, we did. You guys can check it out.
I can barely remember.
If you haven't seen that movie, we did do a video on it. So you can check it out and get my thoughts on that.
Jake Roper says CCP uses TikTok to trans the kids. If you want trans kids, keep the CCP in charge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some argument to be said. I just don't know, like, how much control they actually exercise over what is being placed on US TikTok rather than, like, control they place on what's being shown in China. Like, we know TikTok is vastly different, especially for minors in China, than that compared to the US. But largely, I think TikTok and social media is a reflection of who we are. And you can social engineer that to some extent. But transitioning children and that sort of content being on TikTok is very much reflective of where we are as the United States of America. Now, China or the CCP somehow allowing that content to flourish is another thing. But we're creating it regardless.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have to be most careful on TikTok, probably of all platforms, and posting any content related to the gender issue, et cetera. But again, there's a question of, is that a result of the influence of the CCP, or is that just TikTok's handlers, the people that happen to be creating its policies, are amenable to that worldview and want to silence dissent to the contrary? And I don't know how you can really parse that out, but it could stand to benefit from, you know, freer speech on the platform. That much is certain.
Yeah.
Dalton says, OMFG, I'm late for the show. I'll go back and watch, but thank you both for fighting the good fight.
Oh, thank you for being here, Dalton. Thank you for the support.
You sent one of these heart hands.
Hey,
I don't know how good mine was. But, Nell says, was at a public bathroom and there were two women that had an emergency and entered the men's room. Every guy waited outside because we should be in separate bathrooms.
There we go. That's very respectful. You know, they had to use the space and the men said, okay, I'll allow them to do that. Very nice.
Here, here. Timothy Robinson says, this is my first time catching alive. I want to say thank you both for the political lobotomy. Amla, do you ever think back to being woke and laugh?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. I think about how I would have interpreted the stuff that we talk about today and just would have been a whole different person. Very grateful for having gone through the journey as far as it's taken me. So, yes, many a time.
Yeah, I mean, I know your tone and the way you approach conversation is largely informed by wanting to speak to compassionately your former self. But do you think if your former self watched your content, you would be mind changed, or would you just still be mad anyway?
No, I would just turn it off. My former self would have like turned
cognitive dissonance. Do not like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just would have just short circuited, I think, and went about my day probably.
But once you had to think about the cognitive dissonance from your own experiences and you started questioning, you probably would have found this a good resource.
Exactly. Hopefully. Yeah. That's what we're trying to be.
Yeah. Moggy the antagonist says, I'm a woman. I'll use whatever washroom is available. Sometimes that's the men's because the ladies' line is too long. I've gotten some curious looks, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, if we're going to compare what's worse, a man going into a woman's bathroom or a woman going into a man's bathroom, it's definitely the man going into the woman's bathroom. And that's because of biological differences. Now, do I advise that you just use the bathroom that you're supposed to use? Probably. You just to not run into issues or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely way worse in the other direction than a woman. Like, what is a woman going to do to a man in the bathroom? It's just, you know, ill-advised, probably.
Yeah, and then there's also the difference of you're choosing to take that risk for yourself to enter the male space. Whereas when a country has laws or a business has policies that say that we will make the women's space available to biological males, the women have no say in that matter. And the risk is being, they are taking that risk, but not by their own choice. Their consent has been violated in that. And that's what the problem is.
100%,
Sam Reed says, you two are like a glass of cold water in the desert. I always tune in when I'm working. Electrical apprentice in NorCal.
Oh, very cool.
By the way, you're so good looking. OMG. And and Amala, you're cute too.
Love that. Taylor's getting his appreciation in the chat. People are still talking about the beard, Taylor. Are they fans?
I don't know. I saw someone today saying, when's he going to shave it? Someone else said, I need to color it the same color as my hair.
Wow. See, we're reading your comments, guys. Don't think we're not reading your normal comments down below. We're seeing them.
A lot of them. You remember at first when I started growing it, I'm like, I think it might just be blonde. I'm not sure if it's gray. I'm like, yeah, it's definitely
now you
gray.
Get it out. Yeah.
Silver fox.
It's good. It's good. It's natural.
It's natural. I didn't block it. Celtic Blacksmith says, my gym is a collection of Facebook market equipment in my basement and it smells like leather and wood because I also have a workshop down there.
There you go. Very nice. You know, if you can get it done at home, get it done at home. Love that for you.
And I think that was our last super chat of the day.
Okay.
So thank you guys.
Thank you guys. We're going to close out the show. Thank you so much for watching. Guys, if you had any thoughts on the different stories we covered today, drop them in the comments down below after the show. I'd love to hear from you guys. As always, if you disagree with me, duke it out, but do so respectfully. And if you like this video, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. We got another super chat from Silas Seuss, who says, what do you think about the woke difference between America and Europe? And which kind of the is that?
Tea? I think
you guys mean tea. This is calming chamomile, guys. I need to start shouting out the different teas I drink every episode. This is chamomile. I don't know that there is that much of a difference between the United States and Europe. We're kind of in this like synergistic relationship where one thing pops up here and then it flows over there, or it pops up there and it flows over here. It does seem like Europe is becoming a little bit more, I don't know, I was actually going to say more totalitarian with like freedom of speech and things like that, but honestly, we're getting that here. You just guys just heard the story out of Portland where a woman was arrested for misgendering and pushing somebody, and then that ended up in probation and community service. But in Europe, it's jail. It's becoming jail time. So maybe you guys are a little bit ahead of us on stepping on free speech, because those protections, or at least the wordings of those protections, are not the same as what we have here in the United States of America. But for the most part, I think we're pretty synergistic. Last time I went to London, which was last year for about 2 years, I felt like, what did I say?
It, 2 weeks.
It was Diet America. Yeah. 2 weeks I was there. And then 2 weeks the year prior. And it's just like, okay, yeah, Diet America. This is very much similar to everything we're experiencing in the US. I went to Amsterdam, and at the time they were doing their huge annual Pride parade, because, you know, Amsterdam was, I think, the first country to allow for gay marriage legally. Not that I'm at all against that. Totally fine. If you're gay, you want to get married, go ahead. But the Pride parades were all about like transitioning children and protecting trans kids and all these different gender and sexual identities. And I mean, the rainbow flags and people calling for this sort of stuff, they were everywhere. The streets were full. So Diet America, it's just like very, very much the same old same happening everywhere. Anyways, guys.
Yes, all the West.
Yeah, it's just the West.
We're in this fight together.
Yeah, we are collectively experiencing this, guys. But we're glad that you're here to collectively experience it with us. And with that, I hope you have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. Tomorrow's video is for the gamers out there, although it's for everybody. We're going to have an interesting discussion about DEI and the woke agenda involved in gaming, talking Gamergate 2, guys. So keep an eye out, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye, guys.